The words which I trust the Lord will enable me to make a few remarks will be found in the book of Genesis, in chapter 49, and we'll read the 22nd of the two following verses. The book of Genesis, chapter 49, the 22nd of the two following verses. And Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over our wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd of the stone of Israel. There are certain portions of the Word of God which to the Lord's people are very special to them. And I believe that the life and the experience of Joseph, who is a type of Christ, is very precious to many of the Lord's people. And especially in times of distress, times of doubt, and times of sorrow. We don't read of Joseph's sins, but we do read of his troubles, his trials, and as the purposes of God unfolded before him, so he was brought to realize that his life was not his own. Right from the commencement of his life, his brethren were against him. He was sold. They hated him. They had no brotherly affection or love toward him. He was sold by the Ishmaelites. He was sold to the Ishmaelites. He was sent down into Egypt. There he served as a servant in Potiphar's house. There he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was cast into prison. There he was used by the Lord in a mysterious way to interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker, who promised to help him and soon forgot him. And then the Lord delivered him and united him to his brethren. Joseph is a fruitful bough. If these words have been spoken to him in the times of his affliction, in the times of his sorrow, he would never have believed it, any more than the Lord's people today can believe the promises in the Word of God. Unbelief is so rife within the hearts of the Lord's people. And it's all very well for people to remind us, and especially the professor, to remind us of the promises in the Word of God. How we need the Lord to come and to apply these very things to our hearts. Well, now, as you know, this was the blessing of dear old Jacob to his sons. And this blessing of blessings, as he spoke with regard to Joseph, he didn't say Joseph was, he said Joseph is a fruitful bough. But the poor old chap, doubtless, when he was brought the coat of many colours, little did he think that Joseph was going to be a fruitful bough. Little could he realise what was before him in his pathway. And you know, the Lord has seen fit not only to hide from us the trials which we shall have to pass through, but also the Lord has hidden the blessings. And when we are brought into times of trial and sorrow, the things that we can only see for the most part are the things which are going to bring sorrow. We lose sight of this Almighty God, who, if we are his people, is working on our behalf to bring about a great blessing. The Lord does not afflict willingly the people of God, but he brings them into those places to try their faith. And then, having tried their faith, he rewards their faith. Not a natural faith, but a God-given faith. And Joseph, you see, in his early days, was a favoured man. The Lord had given him an insight into the future, what the Lord had prepared for him. And it's not unusual for the Lord at times to persuade and to bring upon the minds and the experiences of his people something with regard to the future. If it were not so, where would his people be? If only in this life they had hope. But also, I'm speaking now with regard to the providences and the ways in which the Lord works even in this life. Sometimes the Lord prepares a person for a certain work, and it may be many years before that purpose is fulfilled, and how it will be tried. And we can well imagine how Joseph, who was able to interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker, and how we believe that he was able to interpret the dream which the Lord had given him, and how his dear old father observed these things. But what a lot happened in between. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. There was the prophecy with regard to the Lord Jesus, his coming upon this earth. As he came unto his own, so his own would not receive him. How his own brethren cast him out. How even the Jewish nation today will not acknowledge the Lord Jesus as the Redeemer and the Christ. I'm speaking now as a nation. I know that there are some of the Jewish nation who have been brought into the knowledge of the things of God, but for the most part, the Jewish nation as yet know nothing of the way in which the Lord Jesus is able to appear and save the soul. How he is cast from them, how he has been sold. But what a mercy for you and I that he was. I say it was a mercy because if it were not so, but it had to be because it was all part of the divine will and purposes of the Lord, that the Gentile nation should also be brought to know him. He's a fruitful bough, the fruit of the Lord Jesus. It would take long to speak with regard to the fruitfulness of his work of redemption. And sometimes when we're given a little hope of what the Lord has done for our own souls, it would even take us a long time to speak of his goodness and his mercy toward us as he brings to our remembrance those things which he has done for our souls. And yet, it's sad to say there are so many today who have not the fruit, have not the knowledge or the experience which this Lord Jesus has done for them. They have a religion, but like the Jewish nation, they are devoid of any personal experience, any personal understanding. What a solemn thing if there should be any here tonight who have a form of godliness and yet you know nothing personally with regard to the Lord Jesus and his work of redemption. If he's never been made precious to your soul. And there are such characters, you know. They go regularly to the house of God, and some in very high places. Some go forth professedly in the name of the Lord. Blind leaders of the blind. But this I do know, that if we've been rightly taught, we should know something of this God personally. I know it's good when we can gather in the house of God and when we can meet with others who are like-minded and who perhaps have been taught the same things. But that will never do. That will never save our souls. We must be brought to know something personally of this God. Personally of his power. Joseph was a subject, the same as many others that we read of in the Word of God, who were brought to know something of a personal experience. We hear much of theology today, but we hear so little of personal experience of the things of God. And what a mercy it is if you and I have a little personal religion. We may not have much, but to have some personal religion. Well, now, if we have, and if we are true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, well then we shall be able to follow the experiences of Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over our wall. There is a wall, that wall of partition, which separates man from God. Sin. And it's a great barrier. It is sin which causes us to take hold of unbelief, to cast aside faith. It is sin which separates us from worshipping God. It is sin that is responsible for our departure from true worship. It is sin which has brought this nation and the churches and the denomination to which we belong into the solemn state in which we are today. But whilst we may have altered, yet this God has never altered. He's the same God. He has the same power. And as we read of the way in which the Lord appeared to his ancient people, as we read of the way in which he appeared to Joseph, to Jacob, to Abraham, and to all those patriarchs of old, how he appeared to Noah, and the faith that was given, and the way in which they walked, Enoch and others who walked with God, how little do we find in the day in which we live of that same faith and that same walking with God. It is good when there is that longing desire within our heart, oh, for a closer walk with God. But does it spring from our heart? Do we know what it is to have a closer walk with God? If we do, well then we shall expect something. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him. You'll know much of these arrows which the archers fire only to the Lord's people. You know, the religion of old, people ask for the old paths, don't they? But they don't really want them. The old paths was a pathway of tribulation. And it is through much tribulation you shall enter the kingdom. Not through a few trials, not through a few afflictions, not through a few family trials, or even a few church troubles, but through much tribulation you shall enter the kingdom. Now here we see Joseph. He was cast out by his brethren. He was sold. We've already spoken to the way in which he was treated. But had God forgotten him? Had God forgotten the promises and the love that he had toward him? Had the purposes of God changed? Of course not. Nothing can ever change. And Job says, when I consider, I'm afraid of him. When we come to consider that nothing can change the will and the purposes of this God, they're fixed. And they were fixed in eternity. His purposes towards his people were all fixed in eternity. And nothing can alter him. And the archers have sorely grieved him. The grief that Joseph endured is not mentioned to any great extent in the Word of God. The grief which the Lord Jesus endured is not mentioned to any great extent in the Word of God. Why? Because we wouldn't really understand it. One said, much we speak of Jesus' blood, but how little understood. But there is sufficient mentioned in the Word of God to give us to realize the awfulness of sin and the reality of it and the hatred which Satan has to God firstly and then to his people. And if we are his people, we should know something of these archers. There will be many arrows centered upon us personally. We shan't find that this is a very joyful thing. We shan't find that we're able to accept the Lord as our Savior, because one of the first arrows that will be fired at us will be fired from God himself. And that will be the arrow of conviction, where it will come from God, as it did to David, thou art the man. And how, when these arrows come, the arrows of conviction, and I believe that these arrows are more or less constantly with the people of God while they travel through this life. They're not a people who are able to judge others and put this one on a pedestal and pull that one off a pedestal. They are a people who are concerned more with their own soul than the souls of others. I know that there will be an interest and a concern with regard to the souls of others, but their chief concern will be their own soul. And whatever position they may hold in the church, however high they may be in the church, if they are truly the Lord's people, they will be subject to these arrows. And they will be sharp arrows. And we were speaking recently to a friend, and how we were reminded how Philpott, in one of his discourses, mentioned about these arrows. And how he said that if we are hard, if our hearts are hard, the arrows will not touch us. But if our heart is soft, well then these arrows will have an effect. They will penetrate. Has the arrow of sin penetrated your heart? Has your heart been softened so that you know something of true conviction of sin? Has the arrow of conviction has entered your soul? Or is it as yet your heart is so hard you know nothing of this arrow? And is there a day that goes by but what? There is an arrow of some sort that penetrates your soul, where you realize your sinful nature, the depravity of your nature, and your helplessness against that great enemy of souls. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Joseph, how he had all those against him, his brethren, Potiphar's wife. It seems as if everybody was against him. When we come to consider the Lord Jesus, look at his life. Look at the hatred that he met with. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And people talk about being followers of the Lord Jesus who know nothing of it. If we are true followers of the Lord Jesus, we too will know what it is to be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And it won't be the man in the street either that will despise and reject you. It'll be the proud professor, the same as it was with the Lord Jesus, the high priest, and all those in high authority. We're living in solemn days. And there are very few that know what it is to walk the pathway of the child of God. But one of the hymn writers years and years ago, I don't know what he would pen today if he was with us, but in those days he said, the few that I can call my friends are like myself in fetters bound, and weariness their steps attend. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shotted him, and hated him. Now you see, what was the motive of Joseph's brethren to get rid of him? And as we read later, as they said within their heart, we will not have this man to reign over us. And have not we said the same? How we've said we're going to do this, we're going to do the other. We're not going to put up with this, we're not going to put up with that. But how the Lord brings us into that place where we are brought to do that which the Lord will have us do. Those very things that we said we wouldn't do, the Lord brings us into that place of submission. He brings us into that very place where we are made willing in the day of his power. Willing, yea, more than willing, if only this God will reveal to us that he's our God. Do you know something of this in your own experience? To be more than willing. Whatever the Lord may have brought you into, you're able to come with one who said, thus make me willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name. Why? Because he saw something. He says, at last be where my Jesus is, and reign in everlasting bliss. You take our little ones who are gathered with us tonight. How long is their life? We can look back to our childhood days. It only seems a moment ago, doesn't it? And what's the future going to hold? What is there in this life? As we've seen even this week, what man makes of man. I know we should be thankful to be citizens of this blessed nation. But although we're favoured above many nations, and we would acknowledge the Lord in this, what is there in it? How his day is desecrated. How even those who profess to know the truth are willing to cast aside his word and to go their own way rather than to follow his word and his precepts. And how there is this hatred which is still in the hearts of the brethren. And this is how it will be right down to the end of all time. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him. Why, said one, from sinner and from saint, we meet with many a blow. Do you know what that man was talking about? We meet with many a blow. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength. You know, there is that within our nature which is revengeful. And it's good when we can look back and see the restraining mercy of God in not allowing us to take matters in our own hands. Now you take Joseph, when his brethren came to him. He was governor over all the land of Egypt. What he could have done. We know that he tried them. But he tried them in love. He was strange to them, but he was strange to them in love. But what he could have done to them. He could have tortured them. He could have brought agony to their person. He could have starved them to death. And then he could have done a damage, as it were, to the whole of his brethren and his father. And if he had been left to himself, he would have done. But what a difference. We used to have a dear old deacon who's in heaven now. And he used to say, what a difference the grace of God makes within the heart, doesn't it? And so it was with Joseph. What a difference the grace of God made within his heart. There was no revenge. No revenge. Why, he wept sorely, didn't he, for his brethren? But you see, his bow abode in strength. His strength was in the Lord. Those words were on our mind this morning, and they came in such a way as we were looking upon certain matters of a personal nature. And those words seemed to come with a certain amount of satisfaction, and we wondered whether we might even have to speak from them tonight. No man careth for my soul. And so it appeared, you see, to Joseph, and that no man cared for my soul. But I looked on the right hand and beheld that there was no man that would know us. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. And you'll be brought to this point if you're a child of God. No man will be of any avail to you. Whoever he may be. However good that man may be. And however godly that man may be, he'll be no help to you. The Lord will take away all props. He'll take away every hope. And you'll find this. That your bow will abide in the strength of the Lord. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And that's where your strength is. And when one is given faith to see this almighty God, and who he is, and what he is, and what he's capable of doing, what he has done, and not only what he has done for Joseph, and what he has done for Joseph's brethren, and what he has done for others in the word of God, but also what he's done for you. Isn't it a mercy when we can really look back and see something that this God has done for us? Now, in spite of all these archers, and you know, it's the fear of man that bringeth a snare, isn't it? But this, I believe I can say, there have been times when, as far as man is concerned, I've never been afraid of any man. And when the Lord is with us, who should we be afraid of? Why should we be afraid of man? But have you ever been afraid of God? To have that godly fear before our eyes. This is something that's lacking in one's experience. And all I can speak of is those things that I experience myself. And this is something that I find lacking in my own experience, this fear of God, which is an anxious light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. The professor, he has a wonderful light, and he's able to do this and he's able to do that. But how we find the archers, and they're able to come and they're able to penetrate into our heart, and these arrows that penetrate, they're true and they wound us. And there's nothing that will wound your heart more than your own personal sin. I hate those sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Have you ever really felt it? Have you really experienced it? to hate sin. And then to hate yourself because of sin. I know this is strange today, but this is the way I believe the Lord has led me, and the only way that I know. But how the Lord led Joseph is a fruitful bough, a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Now what a mercy there is that that middle wall of partition is broken down. As far as the Lord's people are concerned, you know, when the Lord said it's finished, so the veil of the temple was rent, so there was an entry into the Holy of Holies, and where poor sinful creatures with all their sin were able to enter without any aid of man, without any fear of man, they were able to enter into the holiest of holies. And when we hear men today speaking of praying for this and praying for the other, what a mercy it is if you and I have known what it is for that wall, for the branches of that wall, for the branches of that vine to come over to our wall. All that which separates us, what shall separate us from the love of God, said Paul? What shall separate us? Nothing can, when these branches run over our wall. It seems as if there's a speed, how the Lord comes with speed to his people in their time of need. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. This is the one that guides, this is the one who leads, this is the one who directs. Oh, how sometimes we spend hours and hours planning what we're going to do and thinking that this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and nothing of it ever happens as we think, does it? In fact, it's usually the reverse. As we get all our plans arranged, we're going to do this, we're going to do the other. But does it work out that way? How we have to prove that our life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. And then what a mercy it is to be able to look back and see that we've not been left to ourselves. In spite of the various things that have come into our life, these very arrows have caused us to stop. We haven't been able to go as we would. We haven't been able to gather the speed that we would, because the Lord knows just where to wound. You see, this is the purpose of Satan. Satan is controlled by God. Don't ever let us lose sight of this, that Satan is under the power of God. He's not equal with God. He hasn't the same power of God. Satan, with all his hellish crew, with all his hellish darts, and all his archers, and all his enemies, and all his hatred, is all controlled by God. And so when he comes in, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord says he will lift up a standard against him. The sins of the Lord's people were all cast away in eternity. But there are the arrows, there are the archers, there is the hatred which is felt. You know, there are times when you don't need to see the arrow. You don't need to see the bow, but you can feel the hatred. You can feel it as you feel the wound of the arrow. It's not the arrow, it's the effect that the arrow has upon us. But thou shalt not fear the arrow that flieth by day. Oh, what a mercy it is when we can look to this God and then to see that strength. Now, what is the strength? But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. It is sin which weakens. It is faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that strengthens. It is the gospel, it is his word, it is the reality and the belief in these things. That however black we are comely in the sight of the Lord. Oh, when one is able by faith to believe that, I am black but comely. To feel that however black we may be, and black we are, but not in the eyes of God the Father, when seen through the merits of his dear Son. Oh, what a strength it is to one who is cast down, to one who is burdened by sin, who one is the target of Satan. Though your sins be as scarlet, oh come, let us reason together. All the promises, the encouragement in the Word of God for those who have been the subject of these archers, who have been wounded, but how the Lord, you see, controls everything. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And how many a poor sinner there is even upon this earth, how many there are in heaven who have known something of the sorrows of the way, who have known something of the sharp afflictions and temptations of Satan, but have also known something of the almighty power of this God. But his bow abode in strength, it abode, and nothing can move it, nothing can alter it. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. But what more can he say than to you he hath said, ye who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. And that's where you'll have to go. Now what is the effect then of these arrows? Well, they'll drive you away. They won't drive you any closer to those who fire them, will they? You know, man talks about being separated, and separate yourself from this and separate from the other. You can't do it. Because the first one I would separate myself from is myself. And so would Paul have done. He said, oh wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He couldn't separate himself from it. So if he couldn't separate himself from his own body, I'm sure he couldn't separate himself from others, and neither will you. But these arrows will. As the archers come, they won't draw you nearer to them. They will drive you away from them, but they will drive you to the cross of the blessed Redeemer. They will. And they'll drive you to him as your refuge. And you'll find him to be a wonderful refuge. But his bow abode in strength. Now poor old Joseph, you see, how he, even in his faith and the wonderful promises he had, how he put faith in the baker and the butler, but of no avail. No avail. Don't go to man, don't trust in man. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What a mercy it is to be able to remember these things, and how the Lord does bring to our remembrance his mercy and his goodness toward us in these things. Now then, do you know anything of these archers? Do you know anything of these arrows? Perhaps there's some here who have fired a few arrows. It's a solemn thing to be a tool in the hand of Satan. Solemn to be a tool in the hand of Satan. But what a mercy if we've received some of these arrows, and if they've sent us to the Lord. And that's where they'll send you. And as you're sent to the Lord, so you'll know something of this mighty God of Jacob. The mighty God of Jacob. Or to be able to think of that. To think of the soothing effect of this mighty God of Jacob. How he delivered his people. How we were speaking recently of that Good Samaritan. How he bound up the wound. It was a bond, you see, it was bound, wasn't it? He poured in the wine and the oil. and then put him on his own beast, took him to a place of rest, and he said, I'm coming again. And you know, we'd always be pleased to see someone that has helped us in times past, wouldn't we? Anyone that has helped us in our need, we'd always be pleased to see them, wouldn't we? And he says, I'm coming again. And he is coming again. And that mighty God of Jacob is coming again. And he's coming again with that mighty resurrecting power, when all the dead will be raised to life again. He's coming as that judge of all the earth. And he's coming with that arrow which will say, depart ye cursed, I never knew you. And where they will enter into eternal punishment. But those who have been the target, those who have been rejected, despised of men, will be received. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Why standest thou without? Joseph is a fruitful bough. That is the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ, his fruitfulness. And it all comes from that world. There's such a depth. You know, in a world there's a depth. There's such a reality. And one's not able to go on, you know, very long without water. And so this water from this well, and you see the bough, the fruitfulness is even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And one will have to say, yes, all these things which were against me were for me. To see absolute perfection in the way in which the Lord has worked. That all these arrows, there was no arrow that was misguided. There was nothing, no painful dispensation in our lives, but what was directed and what was controlled and restricted by this almighty power, the almighty God, the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd of the stone of Israel. He was the one that guided the arrow. He's the one that guides his people. And he's the one that will guide us to heaven at last, if we are his people. And you know, that is a painful arrow, which is often in the heart of the Lord's people. Am I one of his people? It's a painful arrow. And it's an arrow that we shall never really have removed until we come with the psalmist who said, I shall be satisfied when that arrow is removed, when I awake in his likeness. Have you got that arrow within your heart? That arrow which is a painful feeling at times. Am I right? Am I deceived? Am I one of the Lord's people? Because you see, there's so many arrows which seem to point the wrong way, don't they? But what a mercy if the Lord has given us that grace and that faith and that sight to see that all these things work together for our good, and to know that this God is the mighty God of Jacob. We must leave it. May the Lord add his blessing.